frequency sensitive, and there are channels in the cell membrane in all the major systems of the body that allow calcium in or out and for specific durations. And when those voltage-gated calcium channels are messed with by other frequencies, that's when you get too much calcium in the cell, too many of, there are a whole chemical sequences are set in sway because of these calcium ions. And it's just a magnificent thing that's happening in the body. The telecom industries have said for decades that, oh, well, people can't be having effects from wireless radiation, electromagnetic fields, because there's no mechanism. This is the chief mechanism, not the sole mechanism, but this is the chief thing that's going on. And we need to know about that. And in tandem with that, we need to know that wireless radiation takes at least 10 times more electrical power than wired connections in your home. So if you're talking about use of electricity and the need for production of electricity, then this is important. And 5G takes at least 3 times as much as 4G. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Fitzsimmons.
Nothing new to report. As the board knows, we've been working on the merger between the DPW and the town of Clawbrook. That's been a lot of questions and answers and calls and things like that. Clawbrook approved it at its meeting last night tonight, and you've got it slated to approve tonight.
Okay.
That's about it.
The water matter that I was speaking to you about, the gentleman and his wife are here. Do you want to do that under new business or now?
New business. All right.
Jessica.
Water and sewer bills were mailed out on October 1st, due by the 31st without penalty. Certified letters for delinquent water and sewer users will be mailed tomorrow. We're working on delinquent tax list calculations. Done a lot of research and communication with attorneys regarding the merger. We've had multiple calls, emails, and correspondence regarding personal items and garbage in various locations around the village. You had to put together all the forms and documents to terminate the DPW workers from the village benefits. We worked with Johnny Walker Insurance in regards to getting a library restitution check. Worked with the police on some grant paperwork, worked with Blue Lamont for chips. The office will be closed November 23rd and 24th in observance of Thanksgiving. There'll be no workshop on the 22nd, so I will put the abstract together on Monday the 20th. If you guys can swing in that week and sign up for it, please.
Library continues to fill it as usual with 140 people in actual and virtual attendance, and 587 actually came into the library. There's all kinds of stuff going on still. There's a community read coming up. I know they're doing the monthly book with Karen Schumer, and I'll see that on here. The senior lunches have 6 people showing up every week, which is really great for Philmont, and that's about it. So keep up the good work, Philmont Library. Thank you, Peter.
You. Community center. Okay, I've got that. The report for October submitted by Julie Grandy, the director. The center's been checked during the month. The center was rented October 8th and 22nd. Provides a great place for village residents to hold small gatherings at an affordable price. Contractors have been contacted regarding the deteriorated condition of the doors, framing, and the windows. I've been working on that with her, and we're still looking for more quotes on that. Under programs, she has a quote here from Amelia McIsaac that they had 11 individuals attend 5 children's sculpting afternoon workshops. There was a core of 6 students who attended every session. They made finger puppet mice and bats, pumpkins and pumpkin seed pouches. felted acorns and lots of felted wool snakes. They learn how felt is made and how now and historically. They made innate snacks and are very self-motivated and hungry. Seven of the students are Philmont residents. And Amelia thanks the village for that opportunity. The Community Day Committee is meeting at the center on a regular basis. Crocheting is moving to the first Friday of the month from 6 to 8. That's Kim Simmons is facilitating that. Saturday, November 4th, the street soldiers will use the community center for distribution of goods. I went up there at the end of that. There was probably at least 40 people that took advantage of that event. That was really well attended. There's going to be an adult felting program on November 11, 12, and 13 from 9 to 5. That'll begin again, led by Amelia. That's it.
Thank you. Vern?
For the month, we had 12 calls for service, assist EMS two times, 74 property checks, one UTT, 37 GT warnings, and that's the report. Halloween, uneventful, was a lot of people. It was actually great to see. Met Pastor Dan and his wife across the way here. They've got a lot of things planned. They're going to have some like help programs. So if anyone's looking for anything, so there's a lot going on. So we've been in contact back and forth, but they had their first service last night. Hopefully everything, you know, with those folks will be up and running. So
it's nice to see activity over there.
Yeah, it was. But I have to say Halloween, there was really a lot of people out on foot, and there was just a lot of kids. No disrespect, very communicative. Everyone was friendly. It was just, it was great, but it was just like, it was just not the norm. It was like, it was really nice to see. I mean, a lot of, you know, just the interaction with everybody.
It's the new norm.
Yeah.
I had 65 people on Maple Avenue, 65. Every kid was so thankful, polite.
Yeah.
It was.
We so got zero up on top of Summit. So.
Yeah, it's a long
day. Yeah, what the heck? You're getting shape.
It's just nice to see them out and around. And it's nice that nothing happened.
And absolutely.
You deserve a win every once in a while.
it was great. Like I said, a lot of positive feedback. So.
A lot of years it was just the opposite.
Absolutely.
Good.
Sally?
Okay, so good evening, everybody. So we've had a pretty good action-packed last month. The Lower Grant Committee held three meetings, October 11th, 18th, and 24th, attended by Mayor Johnson, Bob McFarlane, Barbara Segal, Karen Schwimmer, Mark Rountree, myself, for the selection of the first, second, and third choice from 12 architectural and landscape architectural firms who submitted responses to the request for qualifications received at the end of September. That's, you know, pretty amazing that we received 12. We were expecting 4, and then to get, you know, top quality, top level 12. So each Boa Grant Committee member submitted complete scoring charts and written evaluations. They worked really hard. It's a big job to evaluate 12 sets of proposals. And they did excellently well. And the three meetings were very well attended and very pleasant, very congenial. And the final choices were made on October the 24th, with all members in agreement for the selection. The first choice, which will be announced in a press release to be published this week. We're waiting on the mayor to agree to the press release. You got right? Can't release it until you approve it. Can't say it in here either. Right? So maybe I can see you afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome. It'd be great to be able to get that out tomorrow. We did get approval and we got some revisions this morning from the DOS and I sent the update to Jessica this afternoon. So the firm selected will advance the next level designs for a new community centre and playground on Summit Lake waterfront, and an innovative design approach to reimagining downtown Canal Street area that's going to be parking and community plaza. And the downtown parcels in the Canal Street area are also to include the historic artifacts that are still remaining from the historic Mill 3 that once served as an anchor location in the downtown of Philmont. So that's the BOA grant, doing really great on all of that. That procedure is a difficult procedure and everybody was awesome. Everybody pulled together and worked really hard with it. The LWRP, Labella again, they shifted, if you remember last month, they had shifted, they did it again. I think, you know, what's going on there, Irene Horlack from the DOS isn't ringing up any alarm bells, but, you know, the Task 9 is a really big chunk of the watershed, and it involves, you know, 16, 17 maps, and it's a characterization of the waterfront, of the watershed. So they do, it's a big chunk of it, so I'm not too concerned that they've moved it again, because they need to complete that task, that whole big chapter, before they have the next meeting. So they've scheduled, they've shifted again. We were going to meet in October, but they shifted it to the 13th of December. Not alarm bells, it's fine. The quality of work that they're doing is very high standard. The maps, you'll get to see the maps, and they're very high standard. So it's neither, I'm not concerned, nor is the DS. And then the historic district updates, the public hearing, as you know, is scheduled tomorrow in the hall, 7 o'clock. SHPO staff, too, will come to present and answer any questions brought by anybody. And we did do the post office, outside the post office, we handled. And, you know, I think the dial has shifted enormously. We were out there, we didn't get, it was so different from 3 years ago. And most people have now got it, and that 3 year period of just constantly doing outreach, sending out flyers, and we didn't get any negative comments. So there may be a couple of people who come tomorrow with, you know, good questions, but we don't think that we've, you know, got a huge opposition at all to the nomination. And of course everybody's welcome to come to that presentation tomorrow, and there will be a presentation, there'll one. So we're setting up a projection. I'll come in the afternoon to do that. That's it for the moment, okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
We're on target.
Tom?
Yeah, we had the Climate Smart committee met on November 8th. There are a few light bulbs left, so get them while you can. And they are at the library. November 21 is the deadline for the Village Hall decarbonization grant. And that's through Hudson Valley Partners for Climate Action. LaBerge Engineering submitted a proposal, which I will submit with the application, with outlining what the engineering tasks would be, and that is to analyze and review this building, the entire building, and come up with solutions of how to decarbonize it. The grant documents I prepared, the LaBerge proposal included, did not include, but as an additional amount, $2,500 to prepare the grant, and I told them no, we're just going to do it on our own. So, because we didn't want it, that would have been additional funds. Their proposal is already at the maximum, $15,000, so we just want to leave it at that. So they're, in their proposal, the project intent is the energy efficiency of Philmont Village Hall building envelope, which is the roof and exterior walls, as well as the electrification of the existing heating, water heating, and ventilating air conditioning equipment. So that's what it is in a nutshell. We do need a letter of endorsement, and I was working with Jess. I think that's ready.
Sorry, sign. I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Sorry?
It's fine. I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Great. Super. Okay. So that should be it. We don't, it's a competitive grant, so we don't know what's going to happen, but they will decide in January who receives the grant. Now, you've heard before that the village had signed this contract with, well, no, we've actually, since the last time, the contract with NYSERDA for the lighting in this building was signed. So that will be kind of put on a hold because I'm using that. It looks good in this grant application to know that there's money coming from a different source to do work in this building. So I'm using it as leverage, and it makes no sense to go ahead and do lighting when you're looking at the entire building. So if that gets to be a problem, that grant has a time limit, but you can extend it. So if it gets to be a problem, should we get this other grant, you know, I'll contact NYSERDA and say, look, we're going to need some more time because we want to do the entire building. So that's just an explanation for that. For the greenhouse gas inventory, I think we're almost there.
That's where I'm going to.
Okay. Everything was ready, but we still didn't get all the oil bills. But once that's in that Google Documents, Haley said she's ready to go, and so that can be filed. So that in itself doesn't do anything, but it's really important for even for this grant. I put in the grant that our greenhouse gas inventory was done, because I think by the time they read it will be done, and it really helps to get other grants to know that the village has done this inventory. That also includes the fleet inventory. So that wraps up that piece. We are still going ahead with looking at the possibility of solar panels at the sewage treatment plant, maybe not just the roof, but maybe somewhere on the site. I know that the last report was it didn't seem to be feasible. It wouldn't cover what they would generate, wouldn't cover the need for the sewage treatment plant. Do we have a source for that report? Do we know where that might be?
Who was our solar company?
Monolith.
I was part of them. And the girl that came down, I don't remember her name.
I don't either.
But there should have been something in writing someplace because we discussed it for several months. You remember that? You remember that girl's? You don't remember that girl's name?
No.
So she switched companies 3/4 of the way through the project. But there should be something somewhere. And they wouldn't use the land down to the sewer plant because we didn't own enough. Our parcel down there is small, and it's pretty much what you see inside the fence. We own a little bit outside the fence, but...
And they also said that the infrastructure wasn't there, despite the fact that transformer farm is only, you know, 300 yards away for some reason. Remember, there was something about
the
infrastructure.
They didn't like
handle
that. But there should be a report on it someplace. Oh.
Is Monolith still in business?
No.
Yeah.
Monolith is not in business, but that's who we started out with.
Yeah.
And the woman that was here switched to another company. I don't know what it was, but 3/4 of the way through our project, she switched to another company. So
we kept looking at all these different options.
Yeah.
Down at the wells, they said infrastructure. DPW garage.
We even cut the trees at the DPW
garage. We cut the trees, anticipating that they're going to be able to put solar panels on that building, which to us seemed ideal, but they said the wires won't handle it.
The who won't?
The wires.
Okay. It may be worth looking at it again. And this was pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So solar panels have come, they're a completely different technology now from then to now. So it might be worth looking at it again, but I don't want to be spinning my wheels, so it would be just great if we.
It seems to me like even if we couldn't put in, you know, we're not looking at a solar farm like they want coping.
We don't have.
If we just do a few panels that would help mitigate our electric bill and help the environment, then why not?
Right, and there's money available to do local panel installation on municipal buildings, so that's what I'm trying to put things together.
Well, maybe since Monolith was a train wreck, maybe there is another company out there that sees something different than them.
But yeah, absolutely. But it would just be helpful to know what the objections were to begin with. And then let another company look at that and go, oh, this is right, but that isn't right. So,
Chrissy, do you think that'd be something you could dig up?
We have multiple files, inches, that we can pull them out and go through and see what's pertinent.
Chrissy was here then.
All right, great. Okay, then moving on to the adaptation resiliency plan. There was another workshop. It's come up, that workshop, Toby and I were both at it, and that resulted in a community resilience vision specific to Philmont. So there is a vision statement, and it's a little confusing because what the vision statement does is it improves community engagement, encourages alternative transportation, maintains scenic views, and then mitigation and adaptation to climate change. So that's like a lot of categories. But in conjunction with the Cornell Extension, we want to have an education and community engagement program. And Toby has offered the library as the venue to do that. And then Deborah was arranging for letters. And that's all in the works because the due date is November 17th. That's our sample of the letters.
Yeah.
Hold on. Great. Okay. So that should be coming up. And we'll make those announcements. Because we have to figure out how to promote these educational sessions. That'll be held at the library. And hopefully explain a lot better what this is all about. Philmont, it certainly is sudden downpours, but it can also be heating and cooling centers. If the power all goes out, it's a combination of the many different things. So, then the clean heating and cooling program, that NYSERDA did approve the scoping document. And Michael is handling that. That will have some promotional events, and that's to get individuals, or either landowners, business owners, or homeowners to participate in a heat pump campaign and a solar panel campaign. And if we get a certain number of people in each category, we get a lot more points, and we actually get an action grant money. So Michael has been, you know, working very hard on getting that all together, and we may do something a similar promotional activity, similar to what the Historic Preservation Group did next to the post office. the composting, and that's the countywide composting, is it's become an issue in a lot of the other towns as well. So Michael has stepped up to the plate on that one, working with a couple of the other towns to try to figure out how to kick this off. One of the problems is, so far, they only, these are the bins that the county offers for free and offers to pick up once a week, collections of the compost in these bins. But so far, they've only been getting about 600 pounds a week, and the equipment works at most efficient, it works at 1,000 pounds a day. So they have a real shortfall. So this group of towns have gotten together to figure out what to do about it. We believe in Philmont, you can't have the bin just at a recycling center or where people drive to. I don't know how many people are gonna drive their compost somewhere. The bins should really be much more convenient. So we're trying to work on a plan to have maybe a bin at the library, maybe a bin here, but we do need someone at DPW to look over it.
Well, the trouble with that is that since there are only two men at the DPW, there's very little time. They couldn't take on something like that. And I don't see it being any different when Clawbrook takes over. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got these guys out now doing leaves. I mean, they can't take time out from doing leaves to go watch compost. It just can't happen.
Right, so I don't know what the something is.
Yeah.
It may be locks, it may be, diagrams to carefully explain it, and maybe once a week someone looking into the bins to see what's in there. I don't know. We're still trying to figure out what that is.
But I wouldn't depend on a DPW.
Okay, but the way it would work is, removing the compost from the waste stream is a huge thing. So I don't want to say they'll have extra time. If that's successful, they may have some extra time because it's going to be a huge difference between the waste that they're going away. And of course, it's not just them, it's all these other companies.
When we had a crew of five guys, we could have. But now with the lack of help, and we're running scared still. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got all they can do to keep up with leaves and garbage and the rest of the cleanup. It's just, the manpower isn't there.
Yeah.
Are the restaurants composting?
This equipment doesn't accept compost right now. So it gets different.
It doesn't
that
make
may
sense,
change. But right now they're not accepting compost.
I think Josephine composts, maybe, but.
Well, that may be something I'll have to consider if they want this to work.
Yeah, I would surprise you said that. It sounds ridiculous.
It's the same reason they don't feed pigs trash from the garbage, because they can't trust the wait staff to keep it clean. They'll throw anything, broken glass, all kinds of stuff in there.
So I know at Taconic Hills we used to give the lunch waste to pig farmers.
That's different though, probably. Well, no, you had metal utensils there, right? But no glass, I suppose. Maybe glass.
Okay, and we're still working towards getting bronze certification. We'll see if we make it. The greenhouse gas inventory will be a big help because that's a lot of points along with the meat inventory. So we're hoping to get enough by middle of January. And that's it.
Thank you. You should get paid. Robin?
Mine's short, very short. Just that I wanted to thank all the people who responded to the survey. We had over 150 responses, and the results are actually currently posted on the website. We have a PowerPoint that you can walk through. Using the data collected from the survey and our first public meeting, we're beginning to identify the broad goals for the plan. and the next steps, so we're got sort of in process, to create a report, and then the next steps will also be to introduce some of our, what we're calling health, safety, and wellness stakeholders, which includes the police, DPW, or however, whoever, maybe we'll just talk to you, the building inspector, and the offices of the fire company. You know, there's other stakeholders that will hit as we move forward, but that's where we decided to start.
Perfect.
So I'll talk to you sort of about how to forward that. And our next meeting is scheduled for January 10th.
Thank you. All right. DPW, they have their new leaf sucker out and it's doing a wonderful job. You asked last month about where we take our leaves. You wanted something from that? What?
Well, you said it went, yeah, because you can get points for that and then just say where it goes. You said Whiteout.
Whiteout takes it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
As far as the water system goes, although the tank is done, we had that. Had the other well cleaned. They should have finished cleaning that today. That should be back online by the end of the week. That was going well until one of the drives went out on the pump. And first report we got was January 25 before we got a new drive. But Ed Harkin finally found one out in Syracuse. So our wells are back up and running again. We just pray that that was enough.
Can Chief use the hydrants?
Not yet.
Okay.
The end of the week. As soon as they set, they have to set the other pump back in the well. They finished cleaning it today. So.
Okay, I'll be on when.
Yeah. Then we getting ready to toss our DPW to Mr. Hook. Let him have at it. That's about it for me. Doug?
Okay, I checked the properties and basically found no big issues. I did work with DPW today to get those water barrels. We're going to put them up the mezzanine because they're going to freeze. Sally and I took a road trip last month, remember?
That's not a date.
We went up to the rail trail presentation in Ghent, and it was very informative. It was their annual meeting. Brian, did we clear with Brian to have them come the February workshop?
February workshop.
Okay, so that's all set? Okay.
How is that going to be done? They need to have a, they need to show you. They need to have the preservation, the screen. So if we can move it in here for that half hour.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody can come in here.
Yeah.
So they didn't bring that. They didn't want us to bring our project for them, so they're going to come in.
Okay.
Cool.
So we're all set on that. You asked me about
all set on that. Thank you for doing that.
Brian, you forgot. You and I met with Mr. Gibson. DSS regarding apartments and inspections and so on. I also attended a executive meeting and talked with him again, and so he'll be available to help us. Met with contractors regarding the windows and doors at the community center and went to the workshop meeting. That's it.
Jason?
Nothing to report, just general business.
Mr. Speed.
Yes, sidewalks coming along. We got Church Street's done. Prospect Street is done. The next project is going to be out here in front of the village.
Tomorrow?
I believe so, yeah.
Perfect.
And you can figure out how much money we got left. So I know how far I can go.
I'm seeing
okay.
The new curve.
You got
Maple
the invoices?
I don't
Prospect?
Know.
What's that?
No.
That's what
you put
the
in?
Invoices.
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
You have the invoices for the sidewalks of what's been spent so far?
Yeah, I
know. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. Is the work on Maple Terrace, you said you're putting in a new curb there? Is that you guys?
Maple Terrace?
Yeah.
No, we haven't got up there for it yet.
No, Louis is. He's putting the curb.
Is he putting one up there?
It's on the forms.
It's on the forms for there today.
Yeah.
All right.
He's fixing that.
I have done a lot of website work this month. Posts for the fire department, community day committee, created a page for them. Sally and I worked together with some posts and updating information on those pages related to community development. I went to the community day committee meeting and the Climate Smart community meeting, and in October I went to the comprehensive plan committee. Oh, and then we also posted the survey results, as Robin said. But it's up there in a couple different formats, so for people who want to watch a slideshow, one slide at a time, but it's also there where you can just scroll through it. It's pretty interesting stuff. I recommend checking it out, and you can find it under, I think, committees, comprehensive plan. And I attended the workshop, and then just to say a little more about these two letters that we are signing. These are for programs with the Cornell Cooperative Extension and the Hudson River Estuary Program, and basically we are signing letters in support of two grant programs that will provide. One is for climate change education and engagement, which means that they're going to help us with information that we can post on the website and develop posts for, and then also flyers that can educate people about risks because of the changing weather patterns, and planning sort of proactively to lessen those risks. And the second piece is kind of interesting. It's a flood guide for residents and businesses. And that will also, so it's those two pieces. It's an educational piece where they'll give us content and for the community, and then these flood guides. And that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
So 24 calls for the mic. But what is important, I want to bring everyone's attention, you all don't have a copy of this, is that we had four false alarms at Hawthorne Valley in a 2-week period.
Ooh.
I think I went to all four of them. So we literally wasted, five people's time, an hour, maybe. Well, the first one was important because it was actually, someone played a prank, I think, and left the smoke machine on. So when we got there, it looked like a straight up real fire. It was really terrifying at first. But thank goodness it was only a smoke machine. It happened again the next day, same thing, left smoke machine on. Went off. Then the day after that, they forgot to on November 2nd, they forgot to shut the fire alarm off, and they did a fire drill. And the last one, I wasn't actually available, so I don't know what happened. But I know we put all that stuff into place that we could possibly find them. They're messing with us. So at the very least, I think we should talk to the chief and see what his preference would be.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because I had the same thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's like every month, we might have 3-4 false alarms out there. A lot of village resources.
Heck yeah.
So we have put something in place for fines for false alarms.
We did do it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So I don't know
how it gets triggered, but
yeah.
If it starts here, I'm happy to start the process.
Do you have a take on it, Rob?
You can look it up.
Okay.
The only thing that happened is we got two new interior firefighters, which is great. Veronica and Lucy graduated from the 6-month high intensity course. So we're going to try to have a little get together for them on Friday. But it's a big deal. It's a lot of work. And they're two highly influential women in the community, as I would say. And they do, it's great to see them doing their work. I watched them in the fire tower and they're running things. It was cool. So I'm proud of them. It's a feeling I don't have very often. It's a great feeling now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's cool.
One thing I forgot to mention is that I attended the there was a press release for the Habitat was granted. I think the state assembly granted, allocated several million dollars to Habitat, and Columbia County Habitat is going to get $1.5 million, which will allow them
Heck yeah.
we've been, the village has been continuing, the habitat projects are progressing, that are ongoing, and then we're also looking for new land for additional projects.
We are going to have a tribute to Mr. Carter, President Carter, when he finally passes away. He's still in hospice, I believe, but the fire, they donated something to the fire department that we get to put up as a tribute, then we could destroy as a training, which is a great idea, and very on point for that organization, so I'm excited to build a wall and then break it.
I know, Brian's been working behind the scenes to keep Habitat here.
Yeah.
And get more projects going.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deborah and I and Rob have been at it. We're trying. I don't want them to leave.
It looks like they're going to go anywhere. It's great.
And just one more thank you to Tom for submitting this grant that you've done. Really appreciate that. And also for attending the that meeting about the resiliency meeting. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate that.
You ready for me to move on, Rob, or you?
Yeah, go ahead and move on. I'm still looking.
All right, motions and resolutions. They're yours, Jessica.
Motion to enforce the water cutoff law and take action against the delinquent water users.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign annual LoSAP agreement with PEDFLEX.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the contractor's application for payment number one payable to Utility Service Company Incorporated in the amount of $471,013.33 for the work on the Village of Vermont Water Storage Tank.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the Vermont Water Storage Tank Rehabilitation Change Order Number 2, Unit Price Work Balancing Change.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $27,057.71 from the Water Fund Savings to Water Fund Checking to pay bills related to Water Storage Tank Rehabilitation Project.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $718.17 from building renovations account to pay LaBerge for library feasibility study.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $15,690.87 from the library building reserve account to library checking to pay for LaBerge for the feasibility study.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reimburse Lauren Schneider an amount of $700 for work performed by Lady Reuter for the emergency repair of the village-owned sewer lines on Prospect Street.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor and clerk to sign the intermunicipal agreement with Clawbrook for the Department of Public Works Services.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor and clerk to sign the lease agreement with the town of Clawbrook.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Resolution number 5, resolution abolishing the superintendent of public works.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And resolution 6, resolution abolishing the title motor equipment operator.
Motion.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Vote. Carried.
One more motion.
What about?
Yeah, a couple.
What about motion to pay Jason?
Yeah. Motion to read, motion to reimburse Jason Zetzel in the amount of $908.86 for supplies used to rebuild the village hall retaining wall that is funded by the Palmer Pathways Grant.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
but I have one more after this. Motion to accept the county CME recertification training for first responders as accepted by the village.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Unfinished and new business. So what, the new business is the situation I spoke to you about before. I have two households up on Lake Shore or Lakeview, whatever it is. One, the water line runs through one house to another house, and the shutoff is in the basement of the first house. So it's not the only house up there like that. Going through the cards this morning with Cliff, there are like three up there that does that. And I know the community center runs out of the house next to that. And the way that we did that was we let them use our driveway, because the driveway on the left-hand side of the community center is village property. We let them use our driveway because our shutoff is in their basement. So I want to know what the village's responsibility is and what the owner's responsibility is.
I mean, generally, the municipality is responsible for its service lines and mains to the corporation stop or curb stop. So when the individual homeowner's line comes off of that, from that shutoff, that's their responsibility to repair, maintain, and take care of and replace if necessary. A lot of times, as you said, and this is the 60s or 70s, and they hit a lot of rock in certain places when they're doing the water and sewer. So we've discovered challenges over the years where the water lines and the sewer lines don't go where the engineers probably wanted them to go, but due to field conditions, they were doubled up like that. Going forward, because I understand this was a recent problem, your water got shut off and you couldn't get it turned on, probably needs to be some agreement between you and the property owner that has the shutoff, to either, you know, memorialize it in an easement, you know, that you have the rights to the water line as well, or, you know, maybe there's a plumbing solution too, where the line that goes into your house or their house is teed off with a dedicated line to yours and theirs. So if they need to do plumbing work in the future, which is I understand they were doing, and they turned their water off, which resulted in your water off, and then they went out of town.
That's actually not correct.
Okay. Well, I heard a third or fourth party, so feel free to fill
in. So a couple of things. Good evening, everyone. Nice to meet you, Colton. Brian, I just want to thank you since your involvement since Sunday. So we've been without water for a week now.
Jesus.
It's an emergency situation. There's a very simple resolution to this. I've been very patient and have consulted and communicated since Friday multiple times with that property owner. I find it, so in terms of the plumbing work, I think we need to understand who that plumber is, what authorization they had to turn off someone else's water supply. And I'd like to understand the village's responsibility for A, supplying water in general, and B, the legal position of one property owner willingly being able to turn off another property's water supply.
It was done in the 60s and 70s, and if I was the attorney and knew the engineer, we would have drafted an easement over one property subordinate to another property and given you rights to do that. I can tell you for certainty, nobody did that. So what you have now is 50 years of practice where when the water line broke, it's find the break, find the water line, find the location of the break, determine whose break it is. The homeowner's because it's in the line, the municipality's because it's in a service line or somewhere else, fix it, and then get it paid for going forward. Yeah, again, my suggestion would be when you can, it's unfortunate you can't get a hold of the other owner, but when you do, this needs to be remedied with an agreement with them. Either an easement in your favor.
I've been contacted since Friday multiple times by phone, text, email. Brian, you have communicated with that owner.
He returned my phone call last night, and I didn't get out of work until late tonight. I didn't check my voicemail before I came here. He may have called since then. And if he brings his key home with him, we'll fix it in the morning.
We've given him 24 hours to locate that key and access that.
Yeah.
obviously, we spoke this morning, yeah. So, you know, there's been a
and I spoke to him this morning. I mean, I was at his house this okay. morning, too, before I went to yours.
But also, the plan we discussed on Sunday was that a locksmith was going to access the basement Monday morning and turn the water on and lock that valve. So, I'm not sure what happened to that plan or what the plan is.
I disregarded that plan this morning after speaking to the homeowner because I didn't want to damage his house. He told me he had access to a key. I could only take his word, and I was waiting to hear from him before I damaged his house. I don't know legally if I can damage his house.
Okay. So, we haven't had water for a week now.
I understand that.
But it's Thanksgiving next week. The ground is getting kind of like frozen, so I'd like to understand what a resolution is in the short term, because this can't be a day by day.
I'm trying. I have been trying to play mediator since Sunday, so, and I'm still working on it. I'm doing the best I can with what I have.
Yeah.
I can only take everybody's word for what it is. I will give him a call in the morning, and hopefully he calls me. Hopefully there's a voicemail on my phone tonight.
So I have a quick question. So for the village to remedy this would be like an engineering thing. We have to get down there and probe and see what we can get through to get another pipe there. Is that right?
Well, no, actually, from the main, your responsibility is to the main service lines.
Right.
To the homeowners to work out.
So that's a service line that goes into that, right. To the first house, and then right. It's all personal from
right.
Then on.
Yep.
Okay.
So, and I'm trying to get out of having anybody spend $1 million on this thing.
Yeah, sure.
The easiest thing is for the water to go back on,
yeah.
Padlock the thing so it can't get shut off again.
So what happens if this guy's not around tomorrow with the key? What's the plan then?
I'm confident he's going to have the key.
But if he's not? Let's say he's in a car accident or a plane lands on him.
Is it shut off in his house or outside?
It's in his house. It's in his basement.
Well, let's just figure out what the plan is.
Is he around?
Huh?
Is he around?
Yeah, I spoke to him. I was at his house this morning.
With him?
Yes.
And so how come, and is the issue...
He doesn't have a key to his basement door.
His basement door.
The locksmith shouldn't damage a lock. Good locksmith.
Well,
and if they do, they're responsible to replace it.
So he can't, even he can't access.
It's a long story. We had a locksmith there on Sunday that couldn't get into it.
Okay.
We bend that rope.
Okay.
And I took that upon myself to do that. And I probably shouldn't have even done that.
Well, that's good.
Legally. I was trying, and I had some other ideas that when I spoke to the homeowner this morning, he wasn't really all that enthused about them. So the best case scenario is that he brings the key home tonight, and we get in there tomorrow, and Cliff can padlock the valve. Other than that, we're gonna have to come up with something different. I don't have a different plan at this point. I'm hoping he comes home with the key.
Just one more point to make, because there's no indication that there's any problem with the water line to the house. I mean, over 10 years of this being the situation, there's never been a water shut off from that property to the second property. Well, there's no indication at the moment that there is a problem with the water line to the second house.
The story that I got this morning was that he had a plumber do work in his basement. Plumber found a valve that was leaking. He said the valve was to the outside water hose. Well, we know the outside water hose.
That's not true, because that was
right.
Run in.
So the valve that was leaking was the valve that went to your house that the plumber thought was the outside water hose, and that's the one that got shut off.
Okay. And is the plumber authorized to shut off another property's water in that situation? I would authorize that.
What plumber would think that your water runs through his basement?
I think they could figure that out.
No, he thought it was a hose and it just went outside the wall, right?
If I went in and saw that, I said, no, it goes someplace else on the property, and I'd have shut it off too.
Well, let's be hopeful and let's talk tomorrow.
Exactly.
I want to reiterate, it's an emergency situation now. I haven't had water for a week.
Yeah, I know.
And so we can't just do a day by day, hope that he finds a key and this is resolved. I just want to be very clear on my position.
Sally, do you have any experience on this situation?
Yeah, many years.
Really?
You have to have good relations with the two property owners.
Yes.
And that's the fundamental thing. And it sounds to me, not wanting to get involved, but it sounds to me that, our friend Sarah has been excellent, and the other property owner has not been that accommodating.
It wasn't malicious.
No, Sally, I'm referencing your property that has the same exact situation until you
rectified it.
It wasn't malicious. The property owner wasn't home at the time of the plumbing work and he did it over a phone call. It wasn't malicious. The valve was leaking, shut it off, thought it was the outside water. That's all it was. There was nobody there to tell him any different.
Okay. I still think we need to get that plumbing information, get what that work was done. If that was done a week ago,
done last Monday.
How are we a week later that if it's a leaky valve that hasn't been replaced?
Because he just shut it off.
If he thought it was the outdoor, it was the outdoor hose.
Yeah. It's very understandable. From a mechanic standpoint, it's very understandable.
I would have shut it off too.
Yeah.
It's labeled.
It does have
on
this hose here.
Do you
know that he went to the other house?
No.
Why is he getting back?
He is getting back.
Oh, okay.
He's just going back tomorrow. The keys were left in his car. Yeah. His wife's got his car, and she's overseas. So
where's the car?
Some airport, someplace.
Whoa.
So he's got another. Yeah, he's got another key in his office, and he was in back-to-back meetings all day. So it's just. It's a shitty situation, and I'm trying to handle it best I can.
I mean, I will say that Andrew texted me back right away when I texted.
Yeah, well, somebody told him I was breaking in this house. So.
Well, that might have been me. I was trying to get him to move.
Because I was. I'll admit it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I was.
Oy.
All right,
but so. Sally, did you ultimately separate your lines?
It's been 20 years. I've laid lines, then the lines blew, and it was Mike Scheller. Thank God for Mike Scheller, because all the lines through down on Bound Street that were installed froze that one winter.
Yeah.
And it was only Mike who knew how to turn it all off, and the entire pit stood. And then Mike said, you know, Carl, let's just go and reconnect back to the Main Street house, because at least we know that that doesn't freeze, we've got the other problem. I mean, this has been forever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was like, then, you know, again, the house was experiencing problems in the front, many ups and downs. And so it was like, okay, we need to redo it. So now we've redone it, but this will be the first winter.
You'll be fine.
We can't get the pipes low enough
because there's rough.
See what happens.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Ready, the fire department ready to turn up again.
Anybody got anything else under that? All right. Well,
I didn't sign up to speak because I didn't realize I was a resolution tonight. I thought I was going to be brought up like on the new business. Is it okay if I just have something to say about?
Yep.
So thank you guys for approving refunding us part of what we paid. But I just have 2 points. One was that I had submitted 2 bills, and so I didn't know why only one of them was getting reimbursed.
Because we only take care of the main. The problem was at the main, but the one of them was in your basement.
Well, so it was the same problem because we don't have a clean out. So they had to go through our basement pipe, and in doing so, they did break the saddle to our pipe. But it was all part of the same issue.
All right. Well, then if it was part of the same issue, then we have to do it.
We'll have it next month.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. One other question was, because we didn't realize that, like, we had no idea that the main was in our backyard at all, but the guy, Curtis, was saying that we should install a clean out, and he was planning to do that. But then when he spoke to Cliff, Cliff says that we already had clean outs, so to not put it in. And I didn't understand why, because I don't see where they would be.
I have to talk to Cliff. Without talking to Cliff, I don't know anything about that, where the clean outs are.
Didn't you just say the clean outs were in the basement?
Without a clean out, it's a hole cut in the pipe. So they
cleaned it out through the basement. Okay.
They literally cleaned it out through
our paper. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Definitely want to clean out.
So I just want to know about going forward how we're, me and all of us on Prospect Street there are going to have access to clean it out. Because this was a big root that was in there that they found, so I'm sure it's going to happen again to other people. So.
Well, it will, and we'll send Lady Rooter in there again, but. I think yours got, there was a T put on where that fern coat was, and the clean out is now out there, so he can get in out by the main. Because the problem was at the main, where your pipe hooked into the main, somebody had done it with a fern coat, which ultimately sagged, so they put a hard coupling on there.
Yes.
And then the T comes up out of the ground.
Right, there is no T. That's what Curtis said he would install, and then when I came home that night and said, where is it?
Well, I'll have to talk to Cliff, because Cliff was under the impression there was a T there, because that's exactly what he told me.
Yeah. No, Curtis said he was going to put it in, and then when I called to say, where is it, he said Cliff told me not to, because they already had
cleaned it. Well, I'll have to talk to Cliff.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say. Okay. I'll see him in the morning next.
Yeah, I have just two quick things. If we could post the winter parking just so on the website, just to give everyone a heads up, it's coming back into effect, that would be greatly appreciated. Secondly, Elm Street parking. It's a safety issue now. Now we've got a Jeep over there that's got no front end to it. It's on jack stands with a floor jack. And it's just there. And if a kid has a ball that goes underneath there, kicks a jack stand somehow, or a couple kids try to crawl underneath it, you know, it's not going to be a good situation. And then there's just so much other stuff there. And now we have unregistered vehicles over there now. So I get that the village is, you know, has been very cordial in letting folks park there. But there, at some point down, I feel. It's now just being, you know, taken advantage of, and people are just, you know, the kindness of the village has gone by the wayside, because it's a mess over there.
Can we tow the unregistered?
No, remember you got your motor vehicle storage law, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a code department enforcement issue.
Right. He's in tomorrow. Could you speak to him about that? Send him over there.
But the motor vehicle storage law does not apply to village property. It applies to private property.
True.
Right. This is not that case. This is all village. It's the village parking lot.
We need to do something about that village parking
lot. It's the whole parking third world lot. Country. And that's where they got the boats and everything else are all stored there.
Yeah, well, that's everything. Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, one thing you can do is you can have your highway superintendent, if it's dangerous or blocking the roadway, they have the authority to get things towed. So that would be involving your DPW and or Louis.
Might as well throw them under the bus this first day. Yeah.
So the only other thing is you have to look at for the fact of, you know, obviously when they get towed, they're not going to be able to go down to, you know, speed. You're going to, my suggestion is for a quick fix is to come up to the old current DPW building, because there is a gate there.
Okay.
So put them up there. And then again, same thing applies as far as whatever the storage rates are, you know, that's, you know, whatever it has to be, but something, because if not, they'll just, like, they got free parking now up at the DPW building. So you're just gonna move the problem from here up to there. It's just now, you know.
The last time we towed his trucks over from back of the doctor's office,
yeah,
he came out with a weapon.
Okay.
And he was told to do two things with that weapon. You wouldn't want to know where the one thing was, but
it's just
the sheriffs were
like
there.
The Jeep's got to go, like,
you know, yesterday.
All right. So he can go down there tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, so if he can go tomorrow, that would be great. This has been a little while.
That's scary. We had a fatality from a car fall on someone 3 years ago in this village.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Cliff.
It happened.
Early in the week. All right. Anything else?
Motion.
To adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Good night, Philmont.